You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Forum, the show where we learn more about Husker Nation one fan at a time by asking the same four questions. I'm your host, Honky, and sitting to my left here is a lovely young woman here, Mama Honky.
Just welcome. A little bit older than you.
Just a little bit. I hope so. Welcome to the Forum, Mom.
Thank you, Matthew.
On the graphic here, we had that you are a Nebraska graduate. Yes. You attended the 1969 Sun Bowl, mother of a Redcaster. And of course, a Redcast fan, so yeah. A Husker fan. So it's appropriate to have you on the show. I'm glad to have you on.
I'm glad to be here. This has been going to be fun.
I think so, too. I hope so, too. Well, for anyone that's new to the forum, what is the forum? We ask the same four questions. Why are you a Husker fan? What is your favorite Husker fan memory? Who are your all-time favorite Huskers? And how do you think the Huskers will do next year? Mama Honky, let's start with question number one. Why are you a Husker fan?
I've just been a Husker fan since I've been, you know, just a dot, really, forever. I mean, growing up, we had television, black and white, till we got the color. That's how old I am. But, I mean, we didn't get to watch it on television too often. Maybe Thanksgiving, you know, but always, always listened to it on the radio. So,
well, we did a show on me a couple weeks ago. And I focused a lot on the Honky side because that was growing up. I mean, it was Grandma and Grandpa Honky and everything. I didn't remember as much from the hillside. You grew up in North Loop.
Yeah.
So Valley County, Central Nebraska, popcorn days.
Oh, you bet.
I mean, how was growing up in that area, that part of the country, growing up in the 50s? What was it like being a Husker fan?
Oh, gosh. I mean, we were all Husker fans, you know. I mean, as a kid, I don't know if I remember any of the – of their actual names. I just know that, you know, there were some big Czech players that were that were probably from the area, and it was just fun to listen to it. Mm-hmm. It was fun to watch my dad or see my dad get excited about it too.
So Grandpa Hill would get into
it. Oh, heavens yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, and one of the reasons I ask about you being from Central Nebraska there was Dad talked about when we did the one with Dad a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He mentioned growing up, one of his best memories was going to the Knot Hill section. Grandma and Grandpa would take him because he grew up in Lincoln. And it was real easy to get down there to a game. Did you make it to any games growing
up? Not as a child. My mom, but I knew Lincoln a lot. I knew Lincoln probably better than Omaha for sure. But my mom was a teacher. And at that time, you could teach and not have even a bachelor's degree. Okay. And so she would go down summer after summer, getting so many credit hours so she could continue teaching. And my brother and I got to spend a week down there with her. And so, I mean, I went to Sunken Garden. I went to the zoo. I went to the stadium. I went to Morrill Hall. I mean, so I loved Lincoln.
Do you have memories then, I guess, of when you went to UNL, so that would have been mid-60s, mid to late 60s is when you would have been
60s.
Late 60s, 68, you were grad there at high school. So was that the first game you went to was when you got to UNL and actually were a freshman?
I actually was down there in the stadium for band day when I was in high school. So we got to, I don't believe it was actually a game. I can't remember. That's been a long time ago. But I remember sitting in the stadium, and I think we got to march out on the field, and I was, you know, fiddling with my clarinet there. So, but anyway, I did go down to a game or to the stadium before, but no, my first game was, and that was one of the first things we did is we my roommate and I, we got our season tickets to the Husker game, I think, or to the, yeah, to the Husker games. I think I gave you that stub, I think. Of my
tickets. I'm sure I
have. And I'm sure it was like, it was hardly anything to, but at the time it was, a, you know, probably a lot for us. But yeah, we had to go to the games.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to question number two, Mom, here. What is your favorite Husker fan memory?
Oh, I have many. I have several. Mm-hmm. Probably just going to the game, going and sitting with my friends, meeting Mike. And, of course, we sat there, too, at the game. I actually got to go to the bowl game, Our, I think our first bowl game that we had gone to for quite a while, the Huskers.
Yeah, 67 and 68, we went 6-4, didn't make it. So we came back and played Georgia in the Sun Bowl.
In the Sun Bowl. And so my roommate and I and her boyfriend and a couple of his friends, I mean, we all, five of us, piled in a car and drove down to El Paso. That's where we stayed. And no, we stayed in, was El Paso's where the Sun Bowl was. So we stayed in New Mexico. I don't know what town it was. Anyway.
Like Las Cruces? Isn't
too far that's from that. Where it was, Las Cruces. And even went over to Juarez. But I mean, it was, that was just, that was a blast to be able to go down to that game. And I remember we kind of set up high. Seems like it was almost like a hill or something, kind of. We had seats, we had tickets, but it was just such a different kind of area than I'd ever been from. I'm a little rural Nebraska person. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
But that was fun. I mean, I love that. And then another good memory was after we won our championship. I think it was our first championship in the 90s because we were living in Columbus at that time. And after we won, our friends, the Wagners, called and they said, we're going to drive around. You want to drive around? I mean, so, you know, we we tooled around honking in Columbus. I tell you, it was fun. It was fun.
And that's so fun about being in Nebraska during those moments. It didn't matter if you were in Lincoln on campus. I was there on campus for the Osborne's last win against Tennessee. Yeah. But we've talked with people from Omaha, and in Omaha, they got in their cars and they drove to 72nd and Dodge. Or, you know, if people are on campus, went down to O Street. And then in Columbus, you did the same thing. You got in the car and you drove around. You just listened to Kent Pavelka and, you know, and the gang on the radio. And you just honk horns and said, go Big Red.
Go Big Red. Yeah.
The Sun Bowl, that was, you had just met Dad, but you weren't quite dating, or were you just starting?
I met him in October, kind of. It was probably it was before Halloween, but it was about the middle of October. And of course, the Sun Bowl was in December, so I wasn't dating exclusively with him. And
mother,
I dated a couple, but I don't know. I was mostly went with Lucy, my friend, mm-hmm. and of course, she had her boyfriend, and I mean the other guys, they were nice, but
you brought Dad back a gift.
I did when we went over to Juarez. I bargained. I mean, I felt so adulting there, and I brought my dad back a lovely painted velvet painting of, I don't know, a bull and a matador. I think I brought my mom back a serape. I don't remember I brought my brother back, but I brought Michael back some tequila, and it had a worm in it.
So you know it's
good.
It
was so, I thought, and then, because after we got back and started back to school, this is before Christmas. So mm-hmm. we still had the Christmas break there. But so when I went back to school, I gave him his bottle of tequila, and I think he drank it all before he went to our, maybe not all of it. He drank a little bit.
A good chunk of it. Yeah.
Before he had a test, he said he did pretty good on the test.
It was
that worm, I think, that protein. I don't know.
It knocked the edge off. Yeah. I think some of my favorite fan memories, since they involve you guys, obviously, one of my earliest memories, probably the earliest, is the 1983 kickoff classic against Penn State. And what I remember is, you mentioned the Wagners there. I can remember it was the O'Neills. It's the Landholms. It's our group of friends and Husker Nation, Redcast Nation out there. Everyone has the same thing. You all have your group of two and three and four families that get together time and again. And for us, growing up, it was the Landholms, it was the O'Neills, it was the Wagners. And I can remember they came to our house and we repositioned couches and moved things around. Yeah. And I'm like, what's going on? I was, you know, 6 years old and I don't remember a thing from the 82 season. So I didn't understand the significance of the Penn State game, the loss the year before. I didn't know any of that. And it was my first season as a fan was 83. And it started right then with our friends coming over, watching that big game. Nebraska beats them 44-6 and we're number one in the country to start the year. And for me, it's that first season of being number one in the country. We have a Heisman winner in Rozier. We have the Outland Lombardi winner in Steinkuhler. Everything, you know, it's just a dream season. And I was even talking about it on my fan forum a couple weeks ago that I'll always remember going over to Grandma and Grandpa Hunky's house, and just to the right, you open the front door, and they would always have the poster of the year, and it was the scoring explosion. Yeah. Those three guys breaking out of the scoreboard the whole season. And then we ended the season at Grandma and Grandpa's. The whole family was there. Yeah.
New Year's always had to be at Grandpa and Grandpa's.
Oh, yeah. And that was the turn, and that was the two-point
usually
conversion.
The Orange Bowl against some Florida team.
There was just these little traditions like that. You go to Grandma and Grandpa's for New Year's. I can remember going to Grandma's, and they would have the cartoons on Saturday mornings, like in the World Herald, the cartoon of the game that week. And we'd cut them out. We'd put them, you know.
When we would get together, I mean, they always call me Mad Marty because I can't just sit there and politely listen to the game. I can't do that.
No.
And so, I mean, there was many times that many pillows were piled up around me because I would get too, you know, rambunctious or something. I don't know.
I've said it on this show. I get my passion, I think, from you. I always said, you know, you and Dad fanned very differently.
Yeah.
You know, Dad, I always said, Dad didn't care who the third string quarterback was, and he didn't get into the X's and O's stuff, but he had his rituals, and we had the photo we showed of him, you know, hoisting the flag, and he did things.
Oh, yeah, he was a fan for sure.
But you were the nut. If I was playing on the football team at SCOTUS, and there'd be 3,000 people in the stands, you could hear Mom above them all. And it was usually, you know, kill him, go get him, something.
Hit him, hurt him, something. I don't know.
Hit him, hurt him. And I'm very proud of Mom right now because the language has been wonderful.
That's
We always joked that, you know, Mom could put an expletive in front of an expletive and use it as the adjective. And during football games, that was really apparent sometimes.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. Yeah. I do like my football. I like my football. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring up one photo here. And this is something, this shows, I think, really about my parents. You know, as we've talked about, Dad, he passed away in July. And just the headstone, it starts with the headstone. When you're driving through the Columbus Catholic Cemetery there, you're going to see two Husker Inns on a headstone. That's Mom and Dad. And my sister Beth, she went there the other week and put in some Husker flags there for Dad.
I think the volleyball's the stripe one and the football's the red one, I think.
Mm-hmm. And that's the Husker fandom coming out of us, you know, even there.
Yeah.
And at the funeral, we all wore Husker red.
We did.
My dad is buried wearing a red Nebraska Engineering polo with a coat over it. But the Huskerness there, I mean, he's an engineer. He loved engineering. He loved being a
Husker.
He loved being a Husker engineer.
Corn Husker. Yep, he did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was. I mean, he loved sports. Wasn't necessarily the best, but he tried. but that's true. Yeah, those headstones, I said, that was one of the, well, you know, both my parents and Mike's parents passed away. And so, you know, we decided when we retired, that was one of the things we were going to do to, you know, kind of alleviate some of the stress for our kids. And so we picked that out and I said, I want a Husker Inn on. He says, well, I want a Husker Inn. And it was like, well, you don't have to fight. We can each have one, you know? So anyway, but we did put your names on it and stuff too, but I thought maybe we wouldn't have those death dates yet.
That's
what it is.
Husker Amy there. She says, we always watch the bowl games at my grandma and grandpa's house too. Husker Amy, she grew up way out there in the panhandle out in Hemingford. It doesn't matter where you're from.
Absolutely.
In fact, when I had Husker Amy on the forum about a year ago, that was kind of some of the theme I wanted to talk about, was not being just from Lincoln and Omaha. Nope. And I love living in the Lincoln area here. But growing up in Columbus and you growing up in that central Nebraska, and we used to always make those trips out to the Valley County area. I mean, I love seeing the pride of the whole state.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember when Kathy and I went on our first trip together ever, we went up to the Black Hills. And you're way out there in the western part of South Dakota. And it wasn't, we just get across the border. We're somewhere near Chadron. But you instantly felt like you were in Nebraska. They flipped the switch. All of a sudden there's Husker flags.
Yeah.
And this was in the middle of the summer and people are flying them around. And
yeah.
And so it just doesn't matter where you're from or where you're at.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. Yeah. I mean, it's just a feeling. I know when we lived in Kansas, you could get some of the games at that mm-hmm. time, but I mean, not as much as we lost, especially when we lived down in the southeast part of Kansas in the
Chanute
in the dry county. How many places have a dry county, for Pete's sake? Anyway,
would not go over well. That would not go over well on the Redcast. Boomer, I don't think Boomer could survive in a dry county.
Yeah, so we'd go across to Neosho County or whatever, another one anyway. Maybe Chanute was Neosho County. I don't know. Anyway, we go to another county where we could have some beer. But anyway, I mean, just coming back, when you drive back to Nebraska, go back to Columbus, or go back to North Loop to see the family, you know, it was just like nirvana. This is where you wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. You and Dad got married. You moved down to Kansas.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, and you had my oldest sister, Heather, first.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, Heather. Once the ball crosses the line, it's a football.
That's right. Every time. I say that one time, and it was a misspoken, and they don't let me forget it.
That's one of the.
That's a good Honky Schroeder tradition, I think. Yeah.
I think so. There's Dan Swoboda. Hi, Mama Honky. Dan is, of course, graphic designer Swobes and does all of our graphics. He's created our logo. He's created
a good artist.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. We have the Coach Rule painting in the background here, drawing in the background. Might not be able to see it quite behind the GBR. So we moved to Kansas. You had Heather first in Topeka.
Yes.
Then moved down to Chanute.
Chanute.
Just long enough to have Beth.
And then I think Mike loved the job down there, but thank goodness we got laid off first so we could get out of there. But anyway, Chanute was okay. Yeah.
You leave Chanute and you come back to Topeka. And
that's where you got another job.
Have me.
Yeah.
And I was in Topeka all 7 months, and then we moved up to the house that is still there in Columbus, Nebraska. So
we lived there the most. And the first 7 years, I think we moved 5 times, and after you moved, 6, I guess, Columbus. And if after that, we haven't moved for long time.
You want to set up root. Hey, that's what Coach Rule said. I'm tired of moving. I've moved 5, 6, 7 times. I hope he has a lot of success.
He does too, yeah.
I hope he stays in Lincoln as long as you guys have stayed in Columbus. How about that? That'd be a sign of great success. Well, speaking of success here, I do want to talk about the next show that we have coming up here, and it's going to be on game day, 8:31.
Wow.
It's us in the No Block, No Rock podcast. We're going to be going live from Lions Pub in Minneapolis. We're going to go from 12 to 3 o'clock on game day. So it's awesome. If you're sitting at work or you're off that day, if you can't make it to the Twin Cities, turn us on, watch this for 3 hours. We're going to have some different guests and a lot of things going on there. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you are in the Minneapolis area, Lions Pub is a Husker Watch bar. Come on down. Hang out, get some beers, do all that, talk with us. There's going to be, I think we have like 5 or 6 mics that are going for it. And there's 10 of us that are, kind of all down there. So we're going to be up and around and sitting down for 5 minutes, talking, getting off, going somewhere else, So it's going to be a whole show there, but it'll be a lot of fun, and really looking forward to doing that.
Tell
again.
Jim and Marianne, our friends from Minneapolis, because they're Husker fans. I tell them to go over there to the Lions Pub.
Absolutely. Well, and, there's Husker fans everywhere, as we find, yep. And I love doing the Husker watch sites. When I go to Denver and hang out with Dave and Rob and them, to be around Husker fans like that, it's just so much fun to be outside of the state, but correct, then in a place that feels like you're in state. You know, everyone's having a runza or doing whatever it is that is Nebraskan to them.
We, when we went on our cruise, that was at what, in January of 95, right? That's the year you graduated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we were down in Miami. We didn't go to the game, but because it was about a week afterwards when we had the cruise, but I mean, we saw some Penn State fans and stuff that says, "Are you guys still here?" You know? Yeah, we are.
we absolutely are.
Yeah, we are.
When Kathy and I went to Hawaii, we were on the north side of Oahu at the Polynesian Center, and we were walking around it and asked someone that was working there to take a photo of us. Uh-huh. And he sees me, the guy taking the photo sees me, and I'm just wearing a red hat with an N on it. And he just goes, "Nebraska?" And I'm like, I am on an island in the middle of thousands of miles of just water around me. And that N on a hat was enough.
It was an iconic N.
It means something, right? Mm-hmm. And it means something to a lot of people. So I think that's really cool. Well, let's go to question three, Mom. Who are your all-time favorite Huskers?
Okay, now you have to understand, I'm really old, okay?
Sure.
I mean, I like a lot of them. I would say, and mostly probably because he was a quarterback and I was in college, okay, I loved Jerry Tagge. Mm-hmm. I thought he was really just the bee's knees. I don't know. I've never said that before, but it sounded good there.
Right? I think that's the first time it's been said on this show.
Johnny Rogers. I mean, mm-hmm, you know, I mean, gosh, you know, Sue, you know, I mean, there's so many of them that have been, but just from my college days, I guess, and that's really where we went to the games all the time because we didn't really have mm-hmm season tickets afterwards. We could go to a game once in a while, but yeah, those early guys and Blaha was it? Yeah.
Joe Bob, Blaha, Bill Kush, yeah, the SCOTUS
guys. Those are SCOTUS guys. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, those are the ones I probably remember, you know, more.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that you and Dad had something in common with what all of us on the Redcast had, which was you were at school during really special time in Husker football history.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I kind of would joke about it a little bit with the guys in my fraternity and stuff. Is I got to the university in 95. Mm-hmm. So I was there for 95 and the 97 championship. Dad graduated in 71, right? Yeah. So he was there basically for 70 and 71.
Yeah.
We were in college during four of the five national championships.
I graduated in 72. So, I mean, he had tickets, you know, same as me. So, yeah, we got to see some championships. Well,
so the same way that, you know, we had Tommy Frazier on the show a couple weeks ago. And the same way that during my time frame, we're talking about iconic great players, the Grant Wishrams and Tommy Fraziers and the guys that went on to win national championships. You get to claim the same thing. You were there during Jerry Tagge, and you were there during, you know, Johnny Rogers and mm-hmm Willie Harper and you know, Rich Glover.
I forgot about him. Yeah.
All these amazing players, and you were there during championships, during Heisman's, during Outlands, during Lombardi's, during back-to-back national champs. Yeah, and then in the middle of all that, those early '80s years. That's where I'm born now. Those are my formative years. They're kind of in between all those titles. And that's where we had some amazing times too.
We had some good. I mean, we went to bowl games. We may not have won them. You know that, don't you?
I can remember a couple. You know, I can remember the 2-point conversion loss and crying, I guess, at school afterwards, and you getting called, right?
I got a call from the sister saying, "Matthew isn't feeling good." And I says, "Oh, really? What's the matter?" Well, you know, or put him on or something. I don't know. What's the matter, man? The Husker thought that I'm still sad. That had to be probably, what, at least a week or so later.
The thing is, you could call me today and I'd still sound like that.
Yeah, after. That's right.
I'll be, you know, if we, knock on wood, if we lose to Minnesota, I'll call you the day after and I'll be probably saying the same thing. I'm just sad, Mom. I need a hug. Yeah, no, I think those are some great players that you mentioned there. Let's go to question four, and maybe we can talk about some other great players, hopefully. How do you think the Huskers will do this year? It's the first year of Coach Rhule.
You have big expectations? I really am optimistic. I think I'm going to share that pitcher of Kool-Aid with Rob.
Oh! Because,
you know, I mean, I really, I think got some stuff here. I really do.
Rob, I have to put you on, Rob.
All right. I love you, Mama Honky. That's awesome.
We can have two glasses, but yeah.
Oh, you know what? So the actual Kool-Aid pitcher that I bought came with two glasses. So
did it.
Yeah, aww. Absolutely. And I never had anyone here to share it with. So next time I come out to Nebraska, I'm going to have to bring it out and we can sit down and drink a large glass of Kool-Aid together.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Rob.
No, I think we're going to do good. I really do. We may not win them all, but I'm really optimistic. I think, mm-hmm. I think they've had enough of a mindset now, you know, some good practices, some hitting practices. Like you say, I mean, you can't go out and not hit and then expect to not get hit.
Yeah, you practice the way you play, and yes. And it's important to go out there and practice in a way that's going to win football yes. games. If you exactly. aren't tackling and aren't doing things.
And that's what's the good part, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to, I don't want to get hurt mm-hmm. bad. But, you know, just a little, shake them up a little. That's what, not our guys. The yeah, other guys. Yeah.
We want to knock the other guys around. Well, I think, I like how you said you're optimistic, and I think that's good. Optimism, especially at this time of the year, I think that's important for any fan to have. At the same time, do you kind of have, you know, do you have an expectation? Is there something that, you know, you just really want to see, whether it's making a bowl game or you want to see so many wins, or is there something that.
I want to see a bowl game. So that means we have to have at least six wins, right? Yep. So. I think it's going to be more than six. I really do. Mm-hmm. You know,
is there a team that you know, back in the day, maybe it was Oklahoma we didn't like or whatever. Is there somebody right now?
I still don't like Colorado. kind of. Anyway, I mean, it's the old Big 12 thing here. You know? But because I never didn't. I mean, I didn't like Oklahoma, but I respected Oklahoma. I don't respect Colorado. And boy, they probably shouldn't hear say that, should I? But anyway. But,
that's all right. All of Colorado is watching right now.
I hope we can, you know, every game we play, I want us to do our best. I want us to play hard, and maybe we won't be on top at the end. But I think if we do that and if we play as a team, and I think we have some chances to be going to a bowl game.
Yeah, we have some good players.
And I have I have more than one red shirt. So, I mean, I have clothes that I would love to, I won't go to the bowl game, but I'll sit and watch it and yell and mm-hmm. put pillows around myself. So,
well, athletic director Trev Alberts was on the radio last night. And one of the things he was talking about with his expectations of the team is just that it's going to be a team that he thinks is going to make Nebraskans proud, that they're going to be hard hitting. They're going to be physical. They're going to play to the end. They're not going to give up.
Yeah.
You know, there's all these traits, and whether you win every game or lose a good chunk of them, whatever it is, you still need to, there needs to be effort shown. We can see through it if you don't. We've had teams in the past year since we've started this Redcast where we've had teams that looked like at times they weren't giving maximum effort, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
I don't see that being an issue this year, and I think if we play smart football, meaning not turning the ball over and not jumping off sides and doing all those things. If we play some smart football, don't be yourself.
Good 101 football, for Pete's sakes. Don't be stupid. And yeah, that some of those, yeah, when they jump off side, it would be 12 men on a field or something. That was just annoying.
Do you have any new, you know, rah-rah chants or anything this year? Have you been working on anything?
No, I haven't. No.
I mean, you just let them, they just come up to you, right? Right as at the during it. I mean, it's kind of like
I know, but I have to. I'm trying to keep this G rated because you said.
Oh, once the ball crosses the line, it's a football.
That's right. Like you said,
These ones just come out.
What I meant to say was a touchdown, and it came out. It's a football, and boy, you don't say that in front of this family because they will remember it. They're like elephants.
What was the thing? There was one time you said something about. And I think it was a pro game. It wasn't even a Nebraska game, but Dad was sitting there, and you said something about, like, the little guys that come across and scoop the field or something. Like, do they send little guys out there? And Dad's like, well, they don't have to be little guys. Or so.
I don't remember.
You know, that. It was probably one of those moments you had to be there.
When we would be picking numbers, that was for Super Bowl, when we'd be picking our players, I always said I wanted a tight end and a wide receiver. But, you know, I don't know. They didn't. That was a different connotation.
Mother, you are just so dirty. Mother, this is We're going to get flagged by YouTube for this.
Really?
Huh? I don't know. I have no idea.
Huh. Oh. Uh-oh. Is that from... Oh, my gosh.
That's Rob. He's posting the banner across the bottom.
Oh, I thought that was YouTube you said. You said. You lied.
So it's kind of fun, Redcasters, to do this in person with someone so that they get to be right down here in the honky den, I guess. I'm not sure how to say it.
Cave.
The cave. And we've transformed this cave in the last 30 minutes before we started this. It doesn't look like this all the time. And Mom is sitting here getting to see both sides of this. And I know, you know, you're a loyal follower, so watching this from this angle, I mean, mm-hmm. What's your thoughts being on this side of the camera?
I can't make any comments.
I know it's not the same without, there's always a Marty honky comment towards the end
that's
of it.
That's right.
And a couple of hugs and kisses.
It is. Cause I'm a nice person.
Yeah.
Here's
the hug and kiss for this one.
All right. That's my, you know, I can't hug and kiss you, but I can do it, you know, verbally or something. Is that right?
Virtually?
Virtual. Yeah, that's another word. Anyway. I am having fun. And do you have as much Kool-Aid to drink this year? Are you as optimistic as me?
I am. I'm optimistic about what I think Coach Rhule is bringing to the program.
I like him. I really do.
It was Tyler that we had on Monday night. I asked him a fairly long-winded question about, you know, and he knows Coach Rhule and mm-hmm. knows him well. He's a booster within the program. And I asked him the question about, like, you know, have you noticed anything about Coach Rhule over the offseason? Has he changed? Is he learning certain things? And he's like, well, you know, I mean, everybody learns and everybody adjusts as they come somewhere. But he goes, but basically we hired the right guy. We hired the guy that already wants to do the things that we don't have to twist his arm to say, let's get physical in practice. We didn't have to twist his arm to say that running the football and getting under center and playing in climactic conditions are going to be tough. You talked about, you know, going on that cruise, and it was right after the Nebraska-Miami win in 95.
Yeah, yeah.
And you mentioned those Penn State fans you ran to.
Oh, God, yes.
Well, Coach Rhule played for Penn State back then.
Yeah.
And Coach Rhule understands Big Ten football, and he understands Northern football, and he understands the importance of hitting. He was a walk-on at Penn State, so he understands the program. He understands that proud tradition that we have. So all those things add up that I'm optimistic that we're doing the right things.
Yeah, and especially in practice. We have got to be physical in practice. I know you hear the Makavika boys, and they talk about, you know, that there was no messing around, you know. I'm trying to be nice and say it in a way that, It's uncomfortable when we need to say it that way, but I mean, it's, you know,
you want
to
kick the poop out of the other guys.
That's what they did. And maybe that's what I kind of like about it. It is a physical game. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I don't want anybody to get hurt, you know,
but you want the other team to feel you.
You want them to have a couple of bruises when they're at the end of the game and say, ooh, that was a tough team.
You want them to feel it for a long time. That's what Nebraska football has traditionally been about.
Yes.
And Osborne was all about that. I can remember an old Devaney clip from like a Devaney show back in the 60s, you know, black and white. And he's being asked a question. I think maybe it was Jack Payne would have been the announcer. And, you know, what are you looking for? What kind of boy are you looking for? And he goes, oh, we want big, tough kids that like to hit, you know. And it was just this kind of innocence about Devaney. But it was, we want to be a big, tough, rugged team, and we're going to be hard to play, and you might beat us, but you're still going to feel it.
Yeah.
And no shame in that. I want that every team we ever have. I don't care if we line up under center, from the shotgun, whatever. You got to be physical. You got to tackle. You got to do all those things well, the fundamentals of football. And so it goes back to the optimism question. I am optimistic that we are going to be the most fundamentally sound physical football team that we've seen during the 6 years of the Redcast.
Yeah.
I don't know what that leads to in terms of wins and losses. All offseason, I've talked about the race to six. I want us to get to six minimum. Mm-hmm. I don't put a ceiling on the program, but
absolutely not.
But I can't, it's really hard for me to look at this season unless something just drastically weird happens it's hard to say it's a success if you're not going to a bowl at the end of the year. It's really important
I think for this program
to get back to that basic minimum. So I have no problem saying that, but it's the race to six. How fast can you get there? Mm-hmm. Can we get there in 6 weeks? Awesome. Does it take seven? Does it take eight? Or is it the 12th week of the season? Yeah. We're playing Iowa. Well, then get to six in that week. You know, get to six and go from there.
And, you know, the fans are the 12th man. They really are. I mean, so these migration games, we have got to have as many people go as possible. So,
Well, you know, that's something I posted on social media here this week. We bought our tickets. I just got two more tickets. So the Redcast alone has like 10 tickets to the Colorado game. Awesome. Every one of them are in Colorado seats. Not a single one of them are. So that whole BS of their athletic director on the day that he welcomed Dion, and he goes, "Don't sell your tickets." Not only is this the biggest farce I've ever seen, I bought my ticket through SeatGeek. So this is not I'm not going to the athletic department to buy it. I bought it through a third party vendor or whatever. And I'm now getting emails from CU's athletic department. So I don't know how this all happened. I don't know if CU didn't even come close to selling the game out. And now they're putting their own tickets through a SeatGeek. Someone smarter than me can figure this stuff out, but I don't know why I'm getting emails from Colorado, from their official athletic department emails, when I bought the ticket not through their athletic department. That's fishy to me, and it's something that gives me some hope that there's going to be even more people in red than I thought originally. And that would be an amazing sign. Hopefully another amazing sign is we beat Minnesota in week one.
Yes.
If we do that, not only is it huge for the start of the season, it's huge for the division and to get 1-0.
Yeah, we need that. Yeah. But that's in our conference. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, and in our division, conference, a team that's beaten us now for the last four or five seasons, whatever it's ended up being. And I think it would be really satisfying to Husker fans to get that first win. If we could do that, if that happens, watch out in Boulder, because I think fans then, if anyone's on the fence about, do I want to go and buy that ticket or do I want to spend that much? I think if we beat Minnesota, you're going to see an insane amount of people. It could rival almost what it was in 2019 when we went there. And that would be really shameful on Colorado's part, because they're as hyped up as they've ever been. They've got Dion there and this is his home opener. And if they,
it's
hard to keep Husker Nation out. We are proof of that. The Redcast alone, like I said, we're going to have 10 of our seats. We got about 10 seats to the Minnesota game, and they're all in Minnesota section. And they've made a really big deal about making this a gold out. And I'm telling you, it might look like a San Francisco 49er gold game, because there's going to be a lot of red. It's going to be a lot of red in that stadium too. So hopefully we have something to cheer about. Husker fans have always done their part. I've never questioned it. It's time, it's time for us to start seeing some wins.
Exactly.
And I think athletic director Alberts last night made that pretty clear too. It's time that we need to start getting some wins.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mom. This is the part of the show where we get to parting shots.
Okay.
The guest is always, gets the final say and gets to take us out. But just in general, I want to do the same for you as I would any other guest. I want to thank you for being on the show. I always said with you and Dad, I wanted to have both of you on, and I didn't really get a chance.
Kind of did a little.
Yeah, I didn't get the chance with Dad to get exactly the way that I wanted, but maybe I've heard so much feedback from it too, so much positive feedback that maybe that was the way it was meant to be, to have that, have him that way. But I did get you on here the way that I wanted. And quite honestly, maybe this isn't the end. You could probably come on again sometime, or maybe we could have, a little segment. So
Marty's memory, huh? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I touched that, didn't I? It was making a lot of noise. I am kind of a novice at this.
Well, you never know. Sometimes you hear people that are like hitting the table and stuff, and you get little clunks and stuff, but no, that's fine. And like I said, this isn't the end, Mom. There could be maybe a little segment where we bring you on once in a while and you just scream and say some profanity into the mic.
Oh, I can't do that. No, not.
You're retired now, Mom. You don't have to worry about it. You can say whatever you want.
I learned this after I left home, by the way.
I know.
College been very good to me.
Yes,
or not.
Well, Mom, so the parting shots time. I mean, what are your final thoughts? What do you think?
I just thank you for having me on. I have wanted to do this. I mean, you've mentioned it, and I, you know, this last 6 months have been a blur, basically.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful. And truthfully, I love you guys' podcast. I think it's my favorite, although I can't say I watch all the rest of them. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I love the banter you guys have back and forth with each other. And I think it's going to be a good season. I'm very optimistic it's going to be a good season.
I think that's a great way to take it out. Well, Redcasters, we hope it's going to be a great season. We have one more of these fan forums scheduled on Tuesday night next week. That's the first night that I'll be going out to Minnesota with Mac. Rob and producer Skip and Dave will be heading out there too. We are going to be staying with Vegas Jer out there, which is just going to be amazing. And I can't wait to go and see him. But he's going to be the guest on Tuesday night. We'll do a fan forum with Vegas Jer live from his basement. And that should just be – it's going to be a blast for 3 days out there in Minnesota. And hopefully we come back 1-0 and ready to go.
And bring that chair back.
And bring that chair back. That's right. That's right. Vegas Jer, if he was in my ear right now, he'd be saying, make sure to sell that the broken chair trophies. Go out there. Yeah. Go to Team Jack. Donate. Give some money to Team Jack. We have the broken chair competition going against Minnesota there. Two great causes. It's the charity. So it's two great causes for the chair, but obviously Team Jack, we want to win that just because we want to win what their mission is to, and that's the end childhood brain cancer. So anyways, go out to their Team Jack and donate, please. The Redcast just did that this week, and Vegas Chair was very generous following that up. But until the next time we get together, folks, just remember, you too could be the next one to join us on the forum. Go Big Red.
Herd at Sports Network production.